All right, welcome to Stepping Stones L&D Career Journeys Explained, the podcast that shares the how of fellow L&Ders. I'm your host, Christina Rogers, and today I have Samuel Abata as my guest, coming to us from the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area of Texas. Samuel is a dedicated instructional designer that is well-versed in creating memorable learning and regularly shares his e-learning Heroes Challenges, which I always get a kick out, and I'm jealous that you make the time to do that. He holds a bachelor's degree in animation and a master's degree in instructional systems design, both from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. He is also a member of the ATD Fort Worth Mid-Cities chapter and is presently its 2022 chapter president. So welcome, Samuel. So Thank good you. To have you. Awesome.
Thanks, Christina. Real nice to be here.
We're going to have some fun today. So aside from clearly making way in the world of L&D, I invited Samuel to share his story because it's one that is a bit more streamlined, which I think can give great insight for those of you who want to make an L&D career from the get-go. So may this episode inspire you to keep fighting the good fight and determine the stepping stones needed to get to your desired destination. And for those of you already in L&D, may this episode, as always, remind you of humble beginnings and guide you to new stepping stones that may advance your career. So with that said, Samuel, share us your story. How did you get into L&D? When or how did you realize that L&D was where you wanted to make your career?
Awesome. Thanks, Christina. Thanks for that lovely introduction. I'm like, what's she talking about?
Right. Very welcome. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's also worth mentioning that we were on the board of ATD together.
So
that's awesome.
We do have our connections.
Yeah. And congrats on this podcast. I think it's a real nice effort and, you know, very happy kind. To be thank here. You.
Yeah.
Now back to your question. How did I get started in learning and development? I went to school to become an animator, like you know, rightly mentioned, at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I had my bachelor's in animation. Wanted to join Disney and be an animator, right? I've always been a fan of Disney, so.
Yes.
And I guess at some point the technology kept evolving and I felt like, I don't know if I want to keep up with this anymore. So, you know, decided to start taking internships as an illustrator, which is something I also do. So joined the company called, what was it called? I forget. Laureate Education, it's called. Yeah. It's a global company. They're out there in Maryland.
Nice.
So joined as an illustrator and, you know, sat right next to a lady who was an instructional designer. And she was on the phone, you know, talking all day to, you know, subject matter experts. And that just kind of piqued my interest. Didn't have any idea what you know, instructional designers do before that. So it was real eye-opening, you know, asked some questions and, you know, got it to sit with me for a chat. And the chat only lasted 5 minutes.
But
she was able to tell me pretty much everything about what instructional designers do and how she got into it. So I started doing my own research and decided to take up another internship as an instructional designer. And this time it was with T-Mobile over in Seattle.
Oh, wow.
So before that, I lived in Baltimore. And all the way across the country for a 3 month internship at T-Mobile, which, you know, looking back was one of my best decisions as far as, you know, becoming an instructional designer.
That's incredible. So that's what really hooked you, was having that opportunity to experience it firsthand.
Correct. Yes.
That's amazing.
That was it.
That's so fun to hear your story.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, started at T-Mobile and, you know, got moved into a full-time position after 3 months, which I thought was their intention anyways. So that worked out. Started using PowerPoint to design there.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of storyline and Captivator
at that time. Yeah.
Just more, PowerPoint slides and stuff like that. And it was fun though. So it was more about the content as opposed to.
Yeah. I was going to say, is that what took your attention more then? It was, I guess, that broader stroke, right? Not so much the design as far as what most people think design, which is.
Yes.
Making the visual, but more the design of the content and what needed to be there for the learners.
Exactly. Yes.
And, how neat.
Just from that point on, I decided to go back and get a master's in instructional design this time. So that's how I made that transition.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I knew of your degree, but I didn't realize, I guess, that Disney mentality, if you will, trying to get into that. And then what kind of steered you slightly differently? I mean, what's beautiful with it is that obviously, and I'm going to ask you that later, but that the fact that, you still take that animation bit. I mean, I've seen you with Beyond, so you're still incorporating that information in the learning that you create, right?
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, that's really neat, but I find it also fascinating that you figured this out, at least I'm comparing this to my story, but somewhat, I'm going to put this in quotes, early on, right? That you're able then to go, okay, I'm going to go get a master's now in this. I'm going to really start hauling in this direction I think it's very different now, especially now that there's more specialized degrees in what we do, but for a long time there wasn't. And so I think being able to streamline so quickly, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, not most people can say that. So
it's there's a lot of opportunity. There are lots of opportunities out there for instructional designers now and different paths that people can take. I think with my master's degree, it wasn't, to be honest, I learned, it was more of the principal side of things. We didn't do a lot of the storyline or anything. So,
So it was more the methodologies.
Yeah. It was more about the methodologies. So, that's how I became, well-versed with those and the storyline part I learned after graduating.
I think I had a similar thing when eventually I did my certification, but it's still good. I mean, that's the piece that I think most people miss out on. People from the outside, typically it's like, I always hate that phrase, but you make pretty PowerPoints. And it's like, no, there's actually a lot of method and understanding of the adult learner in order to create things in such a way to actually help them learn. It's not just throwing stuff.
And that's evolving as well. So I mean, there's a lot we're starting to learn as well about methodologies and their functions and
So absolutely,
it's constantly evolving,
So I appreciate that you kind of already highlighted, if you want to call it, your stepping stones for how you got this going. Is there anything along what you've already shared that you did as well? I love that you spoke with somebody and that really connected to you to drive your curiosity. And then you decided to go for the internship and then having that experience firsthand, you're like, yes, this is the place I want to be. This is what I want to do. Were there additional resources or books or videos or other people you might have spoken to, in the process as you were going from internship to, I'm going to go do my master's and then,
lots of people, I'm trying not to mention names, but lots of people have helped me across my career. So to put it in perspective, I've worked with 6 companies so far.
Yeah.
Since joining instruction L&D
about
8 years ago, I've worked with six companies in that time. So, you know, made lots of friends and, you know, have mentored people, have also been mentored during that time.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of people. Really trying not to mention names, but you know, at the same time, okay, there are people that I look up to, or you know, just trying to better.
Oh, of course, always. Yeah. And so within that, I guess, let me ask, what maybe a piece of advice here or there that somebody shared with you that you were like, yes, that really makes sense, or that helped me make a decision.
Right. Oh yeah. Just there's been different points, you know, in my career points, there've been low points, especially, you know, especially in my time at American Airlines, you know, the skill that I had wasn't what they wanted at the time. You know, I was unfortunately they let go from the company, but it wasn't based off of not having skills, but more, it wasn't the right skills for what they wanted.
Sometimes that fit doesn't happen.
But I did take that as a learning point, and that kind of turned my career around. Actually, I decided, you know, to focus more on what my skills were, what I was good at, which was the visual part of things, and so applying for those types of jobs. And that's how I.
No, that's, you know, perfect. That's a great example. I totally understand it. I've been there too, where you're put in something and you think it's going to be a good fit and it's just not. And I think, I mean, I commend you for trying. I did the same thing. I had a position. It wasn't a good fit, but you know, we do what we can to make it happen. And being let go is always a hard thing, but I love the fact that you understand in that same way to go, okay, this is a learning opportunity. This isn't end of the world. It's okay. Yes. What do I do with this information? How do I turn this around? What can I work on? And the fact that not only that, but you kind of hone in and went, okay, that may not be my forte. What is my forte? And how do I just go after that avenue rather than spreading myself out? Because L&D is so broad.
It's so broad.
That it there's so many different things you can do within it.
Yes.
So that's awesome. I like that. That's encouraging.
Right. So, you know, that's how I ended up, you know, being more of an e-learning developer than a content writer, which was, you know, what I always thought I wanted to do. But
really?
Yeah. Constantly evolving. And I may not even be an instructional designer tomorrow. But we'll talk about that later in another podcast.
I will bother you a later time for that. I'd be like, okay, now that we have the beginning and you keep climbing, what are the stepping stones that you've been making way, right? Yes, I look forward to that, Samuel.
For sure.
That's really cool. I guess the only other thing I'd be inquiring is, like I mentioned, if there's any other resources you looked at, books maybe, or are there certain folks that you follow? I mean, you mentioned, I mentioned for you, but you mentioned the e-learning heroes challenges, things like that. So what are you doing to help yourself along the path that I guess is not that traditional sense of, you know, getting the degree or the certification?
Yes. I mean, just starting out in L&D, what I really wanted to do was, you know, follow, you know, as much people as I could, just to learn more and see their interests and what they're, you know, studying and reading about. And that's how I discovered the e-learning heroes challenges. I did not have a portfolio at the time, but I knew that I needed one to survive as an instructional designer. So I started taking part in that community for about four or five years ago. I'd been watching on the sidelines for a while, but decided to throw in my first challenge, which was an interesting one. You know, it was I think I created something very simple with random numbers, and you know, just looking at the feedback that I got from that one project, it encouraged me to you know, take part in more challenges, and I've been doing that for 5 years straight.
Wow, I didn't realize you've been doing it for so long. No, seriously, I'm so glad that you have, because you were the one that actually inspired me to start trying them. Now, it's been kind of hit or miss with me and my schedule, but I see your post and I'm like, oh, look what Samuel did. And, you know, then it's like, well, he did it. I can do it too. Let me see what I can do. So I'm so glad you do that, because of...
It's a great community. I mean, just, you know, the people are just awesome. You know, people like Jody Sassoni, just to mention a few people, David Anderson, very encouraging. He sends out those prompts every week. And, you know, just the amount of creativity that goes into it. And, you know, but I don't feel pressured at all, you know, just taking part in those challenges. I think a typical challenge will take me about 3 or 4 hours to complete. And, you know, it's, sometimes it's, there's always something to learn. I do step back sometimes if I don't feel like the prompts are challenging enough or within my skill set. I'd rather, you know, learn something than just do it for the sake of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
I love your insight, Samuel. That's so fantastic. Well, very lovely. Little jealous that you have such a nice streamlined background in your challenges that you take on, but I love how well you've been doing. I mean, it's really neat to see, even in preparation of us chatting, even though we've known each other through ATD Fort Worth and everything, but to go back and see, like, progress isn't the right word, but I can't think of a better one right now. You know, just how you've developed over the years and seeing the positions. And I mean, yes, there's going to be many companies and I get that, but for me, it's really neat. It's really fun to see that.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. I mean, something else that I do very well is, you know, freelance. I do a lot of freelancing, and that just exposes me to different projects that I normally wouldn't work on. You know, it just broadens my scope and
sharpens that skill even more. I love it. It's so awesome, and I'm so glad that you were able to join me today on that.
Thank you, appreciate it.
And so, Samuel, I have to ask, now you mentioned the freelance work, this is a great segue for our listeners and viewers. Where can they find you in the social media world?
Yeah, it would normally be my website, so samuelapata.com. Or, you know, I'm also on LinkedIn, and you can also find me on Twitter as AfroStamp, which, that's a company I was trying to launch back in the day. So.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, but that didn't work out well, but I've kept the
trial name and since error. Then.
I may go back to it at some point.
I have a feeling you might. It might come out a little differently than you may have originated that concept, but that's fun. Well, good. So we can come bug you on any of those channels.
And on my website, I have a lot of projects that I've worked on, especially for the e-learning challenges, and they're available to download for free.
Oh, look at you. I haven't been on your site in a while.
Oh yeah.
I was just going to tell the audience that they have to go check it out, because I really love your portfolio. But that's really cool that you've done that too. Nice. So good to get
appreciate
back.
It, Christina.
Yeah, of course.
So what's next for your podcast, man? This is definitely encouraging.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm just keep pushing to connect with other L&Ders. Like I said, my big thing is really the how. I have been one that, for whatever reason, tend to struggle with the how in any aspect of my life, it feels like. So I want to be able to help other folks out there, just because we all come from different backgrounds and it's not as straightforward, I think, right, compared to a lot of other careers, and the fact that L&D is broad at the end. So even though you think you're on a narrow scope, at the end of the day, there's different attributes within L&D that you can get into. And so, I mean, I'm touching right now on beginnings, but eventually it's to get into, okay, once I'm in L&D and I've started my career, how do I advance it? How do I grow into becoming either manager, you know, lead, director, architect, you know, so on and so forth. And so eventually we'll get to that direction, which is why I said, I will be returning back to you at a later time to go, okay, Samuel,
now that you're at this, where to find me.
Yes. With all the social media, I will be bugging you even that much more now. But that's the goal with this. So that's what I'm hoping to do. So Samuel, I thank you so much for your time today. So much. It's been great chatting with you. Well, thank like you always.
Appreciate it.
And for my listeners and viewers, until next time, remember to continue stepping onward. Thank you all so much.
Onwards.